Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your word of truth, so clearly written and passed down from generation to generation. We can't know it, though, Lord, unless you guide and lead and teach us, unless we bow before you and we're ready for change and transformation, and so we ask for those things. And Lord, we do lift up Kyle's friends, and I forgot to pray for them earlier, the ones that are struggling, and thank you so much that he did so well. And thank you for your activity in his life and his part in our fellowship. Father, just your spirit would move through our midst this morning. Speak to us, each of us, what we need to hear, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace with God. That's what where we're going to be talking about this morning, our legal standing before God that is the opposite of being under the wrath and judgment of God. To help us appreciate and understand this blessing of peace, I want us to take a few minutes first and try to picture ourselves before we had peace with God, when our prospects were only judgment. But we won't really be able to do that, not fully, not completely, because it is impossible to imagine the terror and horror of standing naked and exposed in our sin before a holy God. But I would like for us to try. We're coming to a great crescendo in our Romans study. Therefore, since we have been justified, or some of your Bibles read, having been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what did we have before this peace? The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I believe we will have a much better understanding and appreciation of our peace with God if we can somehow first imagine this terrifying expectation of judgment. Listen as I read and try to picture yourself before the Ancient of Days without the peace of Christ. The Lord is in his holy temple. His eyelids test the children of man. His soul hates the wicked. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. The Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, one like a son of man. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he was saying, I have the keys of death and Hades. I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we have that gleaming, shining truth now. We have, if you have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sins and have received his gift of eternal life, you have peace with God. But, you know, sometimes I think we just don't fully appreciate that. I don't think we know the darkness that was there before. I don't think we know the impending doom and judgment. To say, now I stand, I have peace with God. Because the other picture is not a very pretty one. And sometimes for something to stand out, you have to paint a very dark background. And that was us before Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, though, we stand justified before God, resulting in peace with God. See, God gives us these truths, and sometimes there are glimpses, and we can get a greater picture. And if we can just picture, if we could try, and again, we won't be able to do it, but if we could try to picture ourselves before a holy God, you know, one day we're going to be there. One day we're going to be there. We're going to be there before a holy God. And you know what our standing is? If you've trusted in Christ. A little neck popping going on there. If you've trusted in Christ, if you've received his gift of eternal life, you're going to be standing before this amazing supernatural being beyond our comprehension. Past what we can imagine. Awesomeness. And what our standing is? Peace with him. If we've made our peace here. Isn't that amazing? This is where we are. If you are a believer in Jesus, peace with God. Our legal standing before God that is the opposite of being under the wrath of God. What I tried to give us a picture of earlier, that dark background of what it would be like to face this God, and we haven't been justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Did you remember the one text I read? The earth and the sky flee away? Can you imagine? They just dissolve in the heat before his holiness. Can you imagine? We get a little picture. It's a glimpse. It's like, yes, we see that. Trying to figure something out here. Swinging that thing around. Can we just draw our minds to that? Earth and sky just dissolved in the heat, fleeing from him, this terrible majesty. But where are we? Peace with God. See, the opposite of that judgment is an intimacy with God that's also beyond our comprehension. This holy, all-consuming God, a consuming fire, perfect, every way that we could think of, perfection. And you're in. You're not in a little bit. You're in completely enveloped and wrapped in the arms of God. Peace with God. Now, you don't have to look at it right now, but you can see in your study sheet, peace of God flows from peace with God. And you've got several, on the inside, you've got several verses there that Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not leave you, not as the world gives. I give you the real stuff. That peace of God, how can we have that peace of God? That peace that passes understanding that Paul writes about in, I think it's Philippians 4:8. How do we have that peace that passes understanding? Because of peace with God. Folks, we should be amazed and fall down and worship. As we just let it start soaking in. I have peace with God. I have peace with God, the Creator, Ruler, God Most High, Sovereign Lord, King of Kings. All those titles and more. Elohim. All those titles and more. And through Jesus, and since we have been, or having been justified by faith through Jesus Christ. What's my standing? What's your standing? Peace with God. Full acceptance before God as innocent of all charges of sin, rebellion, and any other offense. Complete and total reconciliation with God. Our legal position before a holy God based on our justification by faith through Jesus Christ. A legal position of righteousness. We stand before God in full acceptance and approval. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you ever hear these voices that God is angry with you, that you're not being accepted by God at this moment because you sinned, you were stupid, you were foolish, or you've fallen out of God's approval, those aren't the voices of God. Might be the voices of our weakness and our dark enemy whispering in our ears, but the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. The Holy Spirit will not mock and taunt and ridicule us. The Holy Spirit will not tell us things that undermine the things that God has taught us. That's not the Holy Spirit. We don't listen to those things. We listen to God. See, this is what Jesus did. God came to earth. He completed the task. And for everyone, whoever believes in him, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved. God takes care of business. And if you believed in him, God will take care of you forever and forever. I can't wait to be before him. There are going to be all kinds of cool things in heaven. I'll probably be like John and I'll be flat down on my face, but it's going to be wonderful. I don't have to, you know, have you ever, where you were going somewhere and you wonder do we have the ticket? Do we have the right ticket? Are we going to be able to find our seat? Are we going to be able to get entrance when we get there? Throw all that out the window. Peace with God. You're in. Don't need a ticket. Don't have to wonder. We don't have to. And a friend of mine, he's having a study, and he said, I want to get people from I think to I know. I said, good for you. I said, good for you. Not I think I know Jesus. Not I think I'm going to heaven. Oh, and it's not this better place business that heaven is a better place, but most of the time, folks, when we hear this better place thing, it's people that they're hoping for something, but they don't have it. Not I think or I hope, but I know. We know. Well, it just tells us very clearly here, since we have been justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. You're in. You know. Do you believe God? If you believe God, then you know. Are you going to be stupid maybe even tomorrow? Foolish? Sin? Maybe before you get out the door? Are you less in God's approval and acceptance? No. Little weaklings, little sinful beings, we can't undo what Jesus Christ came to earth to do. The work he accomplished. Should we do those things? No. Do we need to confess those things? Yes. But can we undo what God has done? Ain't no way. Peace with God. How wonderful. Peace with God. And then everything flows. Francis Schaeffer was first one that I'd heard, and he spoke of peace with God. And we have the peace of God, and then we have peace with our fellow human creation, and then with God's natural creation. From that peace, we have peace in every aspect of our lives. Verse 2, through him we have also obtained access. It just, you know what? It just gets better. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You know the, started to walk over there. I think I'll grab my cane. Ocean Spray, the guys out in the middle of the cranberries. Well, they're some kind of berries. You know, and they're, and it just, I mean, there's no shortage of, if they are cranberries, there's no shortage of berries, is there? There's no shortage. And it just this rich and just abundant. That's where God tells us, where are you standing? Are you standing in that grace? Well, yeah, you know why? You got peace with God. It's all there for the believing. You see on your notes, it's like Dorothy in the ruby red slippers. She could have gone home any time. She didn't know. I can't click my heels because of my leg. I'd click my heels if I could. What'd she say? There's no place. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And then, whoosh, 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 you know. But when we're wondering, and, you know, it's last, we've over the last few Sunday evenings, we sing, God giveth more grace. But things are maybe weighing on you, kind of caving in or whatever, and you stand there like Dorothy, say, there's no place like grace. There's no place like grace. God's abundant, unreserved. He doesn't cut the tap when we're stupid and foolish and sinful. In fact, we're going to see coming up in Romans, he throws her wide open. Those are the times when he throws it wide open. Standing in grace. Peace with God. Standing, just again, get a little bit of a picture from those Ocean Spray guys and all that, just that abundance and that just, man, they aren't going to run out of berries, are they? Well, God's grace even more abundant, over the top in his generosity. He's not going to just take care of us a little bit. Over the top. Abundant grace there for the believing. Do we believe that? You know, we tell ourselves sometimes not the right things. We just, you know, I wonder, and I think it's true, that we can't understand grace. If we think we've got grace figured out, we probably don't. Because our minds, we just can't comprehend it. There's always got to be a catch. There's always got to be something. Can it really be that good? Well, it is. It's God's grace. We got to listen to God. Big question number one, where are we standing? Big question number two, who do we believe? Do we believe God when he just tells us he throws open the door of grace to us, when it's an ocean of grace? We're standing neck deep in his grace. Do we believe God? Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Through Jesus Christ, we stand in the grace of God and have full access to this grace by faith. Just believing God for it. It's there. If we're not exercising faith, it doesn't disappear. It's just we're not accessing it. Mercy's new every morning. Boy, do I ever cling to that sometimes. Cling to grace, folks. We want to bring out the rules. Well, boy, I can do something, and I'll do this, and God will still like me. And boy, if I do these things, and I'll make sure I read my Bible every day, and I'll make sure I pray an hour a day. Now, reading your Bible every day is good. Praying an hour a day, that's good. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not getting you more approval or more acceptance, because you're fully accepted through Jesus Christ. Grace. Grace. God's grace. Unreserved favor of God. Just picture someone that you love with all your heart, and you just wanted to bless them and bless them, and you had unlimited resources. The things that you would do for them and the things that you would share for them. Think God can't top you? Thirdly, this morning, standing in our position of peace and grace, we rejoice and are filled with the hope of God. Beginning in the middle of verse 2, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going to be there one day. We've got that picture. We've got songs about it. But what I'm asking is, can we live now like that's true? Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Probably none of you have heard, but the iPhone 6 was released about a week or so ago. I'm being sarcastic there because it's been all over. What is it when we with technology and it's so advanced and it captures us, or maybe it's a beautiful painting or it's a movie or something, and it just takes us outside of ourselves. And it makes us feel like there's something more, there's something greater. Well, the ultimate picture of that is the glory of God. And it tells us to rejoice in that hope. We've got it. We're in. We're going to be a part of it. God's going to fold us into everything. Well, so rejoice in that. Let's rejoice in that. And not let the clouds of this world diminish the joy that we should have in being part of the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice, says, and not only that, or much more than that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. It continues in verse 3. Now it's getting a little more difficult, isn't it? Okay, let's rejoice in the hope of God's glory, but in our sufferings, really? Well, who said it? Paul wrote it down. Who told him to? God said it, didn't he? Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And we're all familiar with that. Some kind of discipline that you have to go through. If you're training for the big race, you're disciplining yourself. You're pushing yourself. You're suffering in your training. If you're walking on a cane and giving your leg therapy, you're suffering. I'm enduring so I can walk again. Well, it's the same way with our spiritual lives. We want to honor God. We want to bring God glory. Well, he said, I have to bring things into your life where we can discipline ourselves, where we can follow through, that it builds up the endurance, that when the opportunity comes, we're fit, we're ready, we are able to succeed in that. I wouldn't write rejoice in sufferings, but God did. I had to say, Lord, help me to rejoice in my sufferings. Now, I don't think I'm telling you anything new, but when you do that, you kind of start getting an idea what God's talking about, don't you? We kind of get an idea what God's talking about, and we start seeing things differently. And we sense more the presence of God. And we sense more the filling of God's Spirit, and God's Spirit carrying us along and moving our lives. Any of you here ever just feel like you're along for the ride? I feel like that. So I'm just along for the ride. I'm along for the ride. Oh, it's a great feeling too. Make ourselves available, and then we're just along for the ride. Well, it's that endurance. It's that learning to trust God more and more in personal relationships and in witnessing to coworkers or whatever that might be, getting to know your neighbor, whatever the situation might be. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Verse 4, and endurance produces character. Endurance produces character. Do you know why sometimes the world looks at the church and don't think so much of it? And rightfully so. You know, they look at us and they see our profession of faith, and they see our character. See the way we handle our business. See the way we talk to people. they see somebody that goes to church and proclaims morality, but they don't really see anybody. It's just not really that different from them. Character. What about, just think about this for a minute. Do we want the things in our lives that God would put in our lives? Do I want to be developed as a character? My character developed by God? Do I want those good things? Do I want that fruitfulness? Do I want that harvest of righteousness? Begins back there with rejoicing with our sufferings. Produces endurance. Endurance produces character. We continue through these difficult things. We don't have to pretend it doesn't hurt. We don't have to pretend it's easy. We can speak very clearly and directly of our sadness and of our struggle. But we endure, and we do that in a way. Was it last week or week before? In all I do, I honor you. Oh, Lord, in all I do, let me honor you. That's what we've got going on here. We endure in that way. Not just grit our teeth and make it through and who knows how we acted, but we keep our eyes on God during this time. And character produces hope. Does our world need hope? You know, we can talk words of hope, but you know what they need? It's like when the sun shines and it glints on bright, shiny metal or a mirror or something. They need to see reflections in our lives of hope. They need to see that our lives speak hope more than just the words, that we live differently. We're not grasping and clawing and fighting for our way on this earth. They say, that person's, well, it's like with Christ. They said he didn't grasp equality with God at the time when he emptied himself and became a man, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. They said, there's something about it. They've got something more. They don't have to grab this world because they've got something more, and we've got something more. And that hope, I had mentioned last week that, I'm still reading through that book, The Case for Christ, and I'd mentioned, you know, you got the experts lined up on this side, and you got the experts lined up on that side, and if we want to find an expert to justify our unbelief, you can find them. You can find them. Do you want to believe? Do you truly want the truth? Or are we hiding behind something? So it's, where is God directing our lives? Are we reflecting hope? Is it real and true? Is his word living and acting and active in our lives? We rejoice in the process of hope that does not disappoint. And that's what it continues in verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame. It's what English Standard, I like most of your other Bibles, it doesn't disappoint. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Here's what I was trying to say. We can access information. We can consult experts. But deep down, do we know what we believe? Do we know what we have is true? Do we have hope that doesn't disappoint, even with ourselves? I think sometimes we can even talk about our hope, but we're disappointed. But that hope, and it just right to the very core of our being, we know that it's God's truth there. We know that it's the hope of God. Well, this verse tells us how we know that. How do we know that? Because God himself, the Holy Spirit, pours. He fills it. Just picture this big pitcher. And just God, his love, and just pours it, and it's just overflowing. And we're just wrapped. We're just swamped. We're just flooded in the love of God. And it shows us a connection there between hope and the love of God. We also rejoice in God through our... Yeah, right. Let me get back to the correct verse. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that's the love that we take to the world, and that's the love that reflects hope. In conclusion, Frank Sinatra. But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. Now, people might mock and deride that, and they say, oh, that pie in the sky and all that business. Well, let me ask, do you have high hopes? Or just the hopes that we have, or they just go out at this level? Do we want to be living our lives? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in our suffering and all the things that God's going to do in our lives. He's crafted us for good works. We rejoice in suffering. He produces endurance, character, hope. We're ready to fulfill those works that he's placed into our hands. Do we have high hopes? Do we have a perspective of our world and of our short time in this world and of what we may accomplish in the name of Jesus Christ? It's way better than just doing church. It's way better than just making sure I made it here. And do we have high hopes? Can it be a scary process? Does it take courage? Does it take faith? Yes, it does. But if you just look on your, I tried to illustrate this on the front of your study sheet. That's kind of like a net there, kind of like a safety net. And what are some of the things that that's made up of? And we've looked at them today. Things that you'll never lose. Hope, grace, peace with God, glory of God. You're in. We can't have a fear of failure. We can't have a fear of embarrassment. We step out and, I just go to this a bit. I step out and you step out in the name of the Lord and, you don't want to fall flat on your face, but you know what? If I do fall flat on my face, who's going to catch me? Everlasting arms of love, God. See, I've always got the peace with God now. I've always got this standing in this abundance of grace. I've always got hope of the glory of God. Those things don't go away. So we get back up again and we say, Lord, what's next? Lord, what's next? See, we've got so much, such an abundance. Charles Ryrie, So Great a Salvation, the title of his book on his soteriology. Are we ready to believe God? Let me back up a step. Just let God talk to you for a minute. Do you have peace with God? It'd be easy for us to look around the room and say, oh, well, yeah, everybody here has peace with God. Everybody here is trusting in Christ. I hope so. But it's likely it's not so in a group this size. So ask ourselves, do we have peace with God? Do we have the expectation of his embrace and full acceptance and approval in all the good things and the glory of God? Or do we have that terrifying expectation of judgment waiting for us? And if we have peace with God, do we have high hopes? Have you settled for less? Well, I'm older now, so I'm on cruise control. You'll regret that decision when you get to heaven and you see you had a few more days to buy the time to take the opportunities. You'll wish you'd spent it all. You'll wish you'd spent it all to the glory of God. Are we ready to believe God and step out on the strong foundation that he's put under our feet? It's not going to move. We might get knocked flat, but that strong foundation, peace with God, abundant, generous grace, it's not moving. God's not going anywhere. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, your great love and care. Father, peace with God. Help us to understand that and to appreciate it more and more. And just one day before you in all your glory and majesty and awesomeness, and we're fully accepted. We do pray, Lord, that if someone here has not trusted you, that now would be the time. Today would be the day. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.